Are you ready?
Yeah!
Wow, we've had the most wonderful hour and a half of worship. Amen. Hour and a half? Who cares? Lost in the presence of God. Thoroughly enjoyed my time with you guys. It's just family. It's just home, you know? All the wonderful things that God's been doing. If you've noticed, there's been a different theme, a different anointing, a different flow in every single service. It's not like we dropped off at one service and picked it right back up with the next one. Each service stands uniquely on its own in the way that things have been going. And I think that's wonderful because God knows what we need. And you're here because you're the one that's supposed to be here. Oh, isn't God good? Thank you for your love for me and to Justin, and thank you for the love offerings that you've sacrificially given out of love to us, and I really appreciate that, really do. My wife, who would love to be here, unable to, gives you her greetings and her love, and I'm ready for the word. How about you? Today is Pentecost Sunday. And this morning, God didn't let me preach a Pentecost sermon. And tonight, we're just going to, I don't know, you theme it however you want to theme it. I'm just going to preach about the Holy Spirit falling on us. Acts chapter 10, verse 44 through 46. Peter has been sent to the by the Lord, by the angel of the Lord, to the house of a man named Cornelius. Up to this point, it's been about 17 years since Jesus had been crucified. And in all that time, the only people that are getting saved are Jews. And so the Jews have come to believe that that's a Jewish movement, this new Christian thing. So it was kind of an interesting experience when a Gentile who had no Jewish blood in him asked Peter and some of the others to come and just explain to them what this Christian stuff is all about. So Peter gets up there and he begins preaching a message. And in verse 44, while Peter is talking about Jesus and explaining to them who Jesus is, verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those. The Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, or the Jews, who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on Gentiles too. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. I want to draw your attention to one word in this verse that's captured my attention. And the word is the word fell. The Holy Spirit fell on all of them which heard the word. And first of all, it tells me that what's happening is it is the work of the Holy Spirit. It tells me that the Holy Spirit initiated this thing. It doesn't say they jumped up and grabbed it, or they reached out and took hold of the Holy Ghost. It says the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, same thing, fell on them. Secondly, the word fell, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means to fall upon, to rush, or to press upon, come suddenly upon, to come forcefully, to seize and take possession of. And one definition actually says, adds to strike or to hit. In other words, the Holy Spirit came in an undeniable, indisputable manner. It was tangible. It was heavy. It was manifestation of the power of the living God. They were visibly and physically affected. They felt it. And anyone present could see the effects of the Holy Spirit upon them. And as I read this scripture, my mind goes back in my studies to other places in the Bible where it talks about the Spirit of God falling. In 1 Chronicles 21, verse 26, David made an altar to the Lord and he called upon the Lord, and God answered him from heaven by fire falling upon the altar and it becoming a burnt offering. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1, Solomon had made a great sacrifice to the Lord, and when he'd made an end of praying, the fire fell from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices. These are undeniable, indisputable, irrefutable, visual, tangible manifestations of the power of God. Are you hearing me? Then the one that really stands out, and your minds have already probably gone there, some of you, is when Elijah squared off with Ahab and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. You guys, most of you, maybe all of you, know this story. The false prophets and the true prophet, the man of God of Elijah, they came to an agreement. Because Elijah was tired of the state of the nation. And he stood up while the prophets of Baal and Ahab, who's become an idol worshiper and a devil worshiper through Baal, he's got people leaning one way. And it says there in that scripture that Elijah stood up and said, "How long will you halt between two opinions? If Baal be God, then serve him. If Jehovah be God, serve him." Indecision will halt you in your steps between two opinions. So they came up with this little contest, if you will. You only do this if you're truly Spirit-led, you know what I mean? That Baal worshippers would build their altar, Elijah would build his altar, and the God that answered by fire would be the one that they serve. It's really interesting that the odds physically were 451-1. The 450 prophets of Baal plus the king of the country against one lone prophet. But it doesn't matter how the odds may be stacked against you. If God is for you, if God is for you, or you should say, are you for God? It wasn't that God was for Elijah. Was Elijah for God? And because Elijah was with God, we know the story. They did all their thing all day long, and it didn't work, and Elijah mocked them and reviled against them. And then according to the King James Version, he prayed, what was a 63-word prayer, just 63 words. Basically, God, I know you're God, and you know you're God. Let's let this nation know you're God so they can turn back to you. And the fire fell from heaven. Over the last hour, hour and a half in this service, we have sang songs, we've heard prophetic words that talk about fire falling, the Holy Spirit falling upon us, the fire of God coming down and consuming us. And that's what was going on here. We need to be people who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the fire fell and consumed the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up all the water there in the trench surrounding that altar. The fact is, what happened on that mountain was so powerful and so undeniable that it turned a nation back to God. They experienced a visible, tangible manifestation of the power of God. They had a God encounter. The fire of God, the power of God fell on that mountain, and everything was different. What about Acts chapter 2. This is Pentecost Sunday, isn't it? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit fell. These people had no clue what was going to happen. God just told them, get together and wait. Get together and wait on me. Huh. Wait on me. Sometimes we think we're waiting on God when God's trying to wait on us. We need to be waiting upon the Lord. So the fire of God fell from David's altar. The fire of God fell onto Solomon's altar. The Holy Ghost power, the fire of God, fell on Mount Carmel. It fell on the day of Pentecost. It fell in Cornelius' house. In every case, Old and New Testament, it was a visible, tangible, undeniable manifestation of the power of God when the Holy Spirit falls. What really concerns me today is that we're raising a generation of Christians who have never had an encounter with God. They've never experienced the tangible, undeniable, irrefutable manifestation of the power of God. They know God in theory. They know Him religiously. They know God mentally and intellectually. They know about God, but they've never had a Mount Carmel, Day of Pentecost, House of Cornelius encounter with the Holy Spirit falling from heaven. They've never had a burning bush experience. They've never had the power of the Holy Spirit seizing them and taking possession of them. They've never experienced the supernatural fire of God burning in their hearts, in their feet, like fire shut up in their bones, like Jeremiah said. To so many people in this generation today, the fire of God is just a concept. It's an idea. It's a story in a book. It's something that they heard their fathers and their grandfathers and their great-grannies talk about back in the day. But I came on assignment from God tonight to tell you the fire of God is not just a concept, an idea, a theory, a hypothesis, or a philosophy to be studied. It's not the figment of an overactive imagination. It's not a religious rambling. The fire of God is the mighty Holy Spirit, and He is the third person of the Godhead. He is God, and He is mighty, and He is the power of God. He is the same fire today that fell on Mount Carmel. He is the same fire that fell on the day of Pentecost. He is the same fire that fell in Cornelius' house. The fire of God is real. It is tangible. It is alive. It is irrefutable. It is indestructible. The power of the living God. Our God is an awesome God who consumes with fire. But the fire of God, it can burn cancer out of your body and never leave a trace or a scar or no harmful side effects. The fire of God can burn drugs and alcohol out of your system and take away all the desire. The fire of God can restore missing body parts. The fire of God can deliver from alcohol, pornography, lust, perversion, and any other addiction that would stand between you and the freedom that comes in Christ. It's the fire of God that burns up jealousy, pride, criticism, bitterness, and unforgiveness. It is the fire of God that will heal your broken heart, will restore your joy and your peace. The fire of God will heal your marriage. The fire of God will heal your mind. My prayer is, God, do it again. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. That same fire that fell on the day of Pentecost, the same fire that fell upon the Gentiles in Cornelius' house. God, do it again. Yes. Let the fire fall. Let it fall on us. Come suddenly. Come forcibly. Come powerfully. Rush in on us. Seize us. Take possession of us, Holy Spirit. We're not satisfied just to read about it and sing about it and hear the stories of our forefathers' experiences with this. We want to experience it for ourselves. Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Joel said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The power of the Holy Spirit is not a concept or a theory. This power is the same power that caused the sun and moon to stand still. It's the same power that divided the Red Sea. It's the same power that caused a mighty river to flow out of a rock. It's the same power that made the three Hebrew children fireproof. It's the same power of God that gave Daniel's lions lockjaw. It shook Paul and Silas's prison off its foundations. This is the same power that was upon Jesus that opened blind eyes, that unstopped deaf ears, that made the lame to walk and the mute to speak. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And the Bible says that He lives in you. In your mortal bodies. Woo! Yes, sir. That's my Holy Spirit. That's my God. Ha! It's the same fire, the same anointing, the same power of God that He wants to send into your life right now. He fell on all them that heard the word. Every single person in attendance at Cornelius' house. He didn't even give them time to say the sinner's prayer. Oh my goodness. Peter's preaching along and he doesn't even have time to give an altar call and give instructions on how you do it. Peter's preaching about Jesus and all of a sudden, boom, something comes into the room and Cornelius, and his wife's over there spinning and kids over here doing their thing. And all Cornelius' aunts, uncles, cousins, and nephews, in-laws, and outlaws, and friends, they're all over here experiencing the same stuff. Peter didn't know what else to do but shut up and watch. And he said, I sense this is the same thing that we felt on the day of Pentecost. It's the same Holy Spirit that has fallen here. Woo! He wants to fall upon every person that's hearing this word right now. The word made way for the fire. God wants to fall on your life with a tangible, undeniable, irrefutable, indisputable manifestation of the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be. Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened unto you. You know, I have no problem with a seeker-sensitive service. The only problem is I have a different definition for what a seeker-sensitive service is. To me, a seeker-sensitive service is a service where people are seeking God and they're sensitive about the moving of the Holy Ghost and are hungry for the things of God. And they're not wanting anything but the pure, unadulterated fire of God to fall upon their life and to consume them and transform them by the power of the living God, not just by a philosophy or a hypothesis. Amen. Yeah. Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says, call upon me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hunger is a magnet. Hunger draws the anointing. Hunger will open the door of the manifestation of the holy power of God. Am I talking to anyone who wants the reality of the tangible manifestation and the anointing of God to be fresh in your life? Am I talking to anybody who is not satisfied with religion and tradition? Throw that out the window. I'm not satisfied with concepts and theories and philosophies and man-made interpretations of the Word of God that waters this thing down and is an absolute insult to the power of the transformation of a person being filled with the fire of God. The great apostle of faith, Smith Wigglesworth, he said every soul touched by Pentecost should be a live wire. A live wire. You know what a live wire is? Yeah, go stick your tongue on it and see, right? Yeah. Somebody's catching a hold of some fire, some passion tonight. Somebody's getting hit by the power of God tonight. The power of God is going to seize your life, take hold of your life, and set you on fire. Not just so you can have a little joyful moment here, or woo, 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 and go home. But no, God wants to infuse you with the dunamis, with the power of the Holy Spirit that will shake this nation for God. I'm ready for some empowerment rather than some philosophy and hypothesis. I'm ready for some undeniable, indisputable manifestation of God that cannot be explained any other way. God was looking for a people that He can be supernatural with. He's not a natural God. He's a supernatural God. Let's not lower Him to our level. Let's elevate ourselves to His. Oh, this is good preaching. Our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming anointing on this house right now. Just as the fire of God fell on Mount Carmel and consumed everything, the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dirt, the water in the trench, so also is the consuming of God, consuming fire of God, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit falling on your life. I feel something is happening right now, right here. Our God is a consuming fire. What does He consume? He consumes everything that is holding you back. He's consuming everything that is pushing you down. He's consuming every demonic activity that would hold back the blessing of God. He's a consuming fire that will burn the dross out of your own life. You know, nobody likes the refiner's fire. I don't know about you, but I don't like it. Oh, I love it when God just burns up all of my stuff, throws me into fiery trials and temptations and takes me through the wilderness. Yeah, baby, let's do it. I don't see anybody standing in line for that. We don't like the process, but we like the results. So I hunger for the results more than I fear the process. Can I say that again? I hunger for the results more than I fear the process. Because the process is not comfortable. It's not easy. The process kills part of you. But there's part of each of us that needs to die. There's part of me that needs to die. There's part of me that I just need to go nail right up there. There's part of you that needs to be right up there with me. And if you think, no, I'm good. Then you're the one that needs to be the first in line. If Paul had to do it every day, you better than the Apostle Paul? I only know of one. And they killed him. The fire of God, it's falling on this house. There's an anointing I feel here right now. Yes, the God we serve still answers by holy fire. I wish I could put that picture on the screen. Did you see that picture before service? That was a crazy thing. There's a picture. Gordon took two or three snapshots of a picture, showed it to me. Y'all can gather around afterwards and take a look at that. But this morning... Okay, you got to take your picture out. You got to take your phone out and just quickly let people see this. I think it's necessary. Okay? It's necessary. And he got something wrong. He said, what's at the bottom of the pulpit there? It's a reflection off the sun. But which way is east where the sun comes up in the morning? That way. That's east, isn't it? Or am I turned around? How can it be reflection of the sun when the sun comes up this way, right? Well, how could there be a reflection on the floor of fire at this pulpit? That's what that picture is. It's a picture of fire at this pulpit. It's not about Larry Seymour. I had no idea that God would let that picture be done when I was preparing this message about letting the fire fall. Is God a God of signs and wonders? We don't need to be following them. We need to be so full of God that they're following us. If you got to follow the signs, it's because you ain't got nothing. Are y'all following the signs? Are y'all? Because if you're just following the signs, then you ain't got what you need to get. Because the signs ought to be following you. I was just going forth preaching the Word of God. And then the fire of God was there. Crazy. Crazy. The God who answers by fire is here right now. He's here to save you, to deliver you, to restore things that have been messed up, to heal your broken heart. He's here to revive you, resurrect you, and put His fire back in you. That's no reflection of the sun. Sorry, I've never seen a sun's reflection like that before. You know what? That was just something to open our hearts to receive from the Lord. Call me weird if you want. Call me a Jesus freak if you must. I don't know what to call me. A son of the living God. How many of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues? Yeah, pretty much most of us. I shared this in this church before, but we know in Acts chapter 2 they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? In Acts chapter 3, as far as the disciples are concerned, the second half of that, they got in trouble, got beat and threatened and all kinds of stuff for preaching the gospel and getting somebody healed. You would think when God does a supernatural thing and touches somebody's life like that, everybody would be excited. Oh, they got excited all right, but not in the right way. And these people that had been baptized in the Holy Spirit and then began to experience miracles and then persecution, they run back to the headquarters as soon as they got released. And they said, "You're not going to believe what just happened. God considered us worthy to be persecuted for the gospel." Glory! Would that be your attitude? Battered and bloody and beaten and filled with the Holy Ghost and the joy of the Lord that the physical stuff can't take away from you? And then they prayed. Then they all got together and said, "Come here, we gotta pray. We just had some stuff happen, so we gotta pray." And they said, "Lord, we just pray that more miracles, signs and wonders and salvations and experiences of God will take place more than ever before." And what happened? It says the place was shaken. Whenever God begins to move, there is a shaking of some kind that always takes place. That's a whole nother sermon. Ha! But after the place was shaken, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what there was, a fresh falling of the Holy Spirit upon them in Acts chapter 4. I'm glad about something. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit March 14th, 1982. 1 week after I was born again. Whoo! I was messed up from the ground up from that day forward. They said he'll mature and he'll settle down and he'll be like the rest of us eventually. It's been 34 years. It hasn't happened yet. I'm still a pyromaniac, an arsonist, a Holy Ghost arsonist. I'm just here in New Horizons Church of God in Shelton, Washington, being an arsonist. You know what I mean? Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, Lord. So, hey, if that's you, there's no tomorrow night in this series of meetings. This is it. You've been holding off and setting back and saying, wait, I'll just wait till later in the meetings and then I'll come get my fix. Now's the time. And you're here. And God wants you to experience the Holy Spirit falling upon you. I don't care if you shake, rattle, and roll. I don't care if you fall down or if you don't. I don't care if you speak in tongues or if you don't. I don't care if you tremble or not. God moves differently with everybody else. My grandfather, man, I'll tell you what. He was a mean, aggressive, cruel man before he got saved. So God took this mean redneck back when rednecks were first generation rednecks, you know. God took him and all of his aggression, all of his meanness, all of his harshness, got him saved. And every time the Spirit of God would move in the service, this powerful man would sit in his chair and weep like a baby uncontrollably. Unashamed. The tears would just open up. God will reduce a strong man to tears. God will take a timid person and turn them into a lion. God can do whatever He wants. So don't be looking for a manifestation. You know we're about to open this altar up. Don't come up here looking for a manifestation. Come up here looking for an experience that's undeniable, irrefutable, tangible manifestation of God in your life. Matter of fact, I challenge you. This may sound weird, but I challenge you not to manifest the way you usually do when you get a jolt. You know what I mean? Woo! Some people got it. They got it down, don't they? Oh, don't look at me like that. You want a new move of God? Let's do a new thing. You want a new move of God? Look for a new experience. Don't try to replicate an old one. Yesterday's gone. It ain't ever coming back. The last move of God was wonderful and awesome and life-changing and powerful and transformational. But honey, this ain't that. This ain't that. This is something new. So whatever that means, I'm dying to find out. This is going to be interesting, huh? So that being said, for those of you that are wanting a fresh touch, a fresh move of God, a fresh thing in your life, that the Holy Spirit would fall upon you and you would be filled with a power and the endowment of God that's going to transform the rest of your life outside of these walls, come on up. If that's not you, don't come. Don't come up here because everybody else is. Oh, if I sit back there, they're going to think I'm backslid. Well, we already know where Backslider's pew is. I've mentioned it now in every service, haven't I? Come on, guys. Come spread out. Don't be hogging the anointing. There's room for all of us.
Surrender. Lift your hands to the Lord. Lord, we thank you.
Father.
We thank you.
Pray back.